Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks so much for downloading this latest episode of Ramble Meets, which is perhaps a bit different from the interviews I usually conduct. I was given the chance to chat to two ex-NFL players who are now broadcasters, and I thought it would be a great opportunity to try and explore the similarities and perhaps some of the interesting differences between the two sports. Jason and OC were excellent and charismatic company, as you'd expect. And if you haven't heard the Jason and OC podcast, I'd recommend you check it out if you have any interest in NFL whatsoever. They also gave a real insight into what it's like to achieve at the top level of sport and gave me, and I hope you, plenty to think about when it comes to what it takes to get to the very top in your chosen field. It was also really interesting to get the perspective from athletes of a different sport on what they think about football, what they like and dislike, and perhaps what we can learn as football fans from the NFL. That's what I set out to do anyway, so I hope at least part of the show achieves that. And I hope you enjoy it. At the very least, it's half an hour or so with some interesting people, and so there's plenty to enjoy in there. As ever, you can send feedback over to me on Twitter and Instagram at Luke Aaron Moore. Have a great rest of the week, and don't forget to subscribe to make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Without further ado, this is Ramble Meets with Jason Bell and OC Omanura. Enjoy.
Yeah, all right, cool.
We're talking reckless, huh? Yeah.
So we're already rolling, so I'm going to keep it as conversational as possible.
Oh, man, we're rolling. I could have said something detrimental to the conversation.
Well, I thought that, but someone said before that you're a professional. So I just thought that's never going to happen. Jason Bell's not going to do that.
It's informed you're a professional before this.
His reputation is so good that he'll never get caught out.
I'm whoever this person is, I like them. I like them a lot. Yeah. I like them a lot. Jason Bell, and I am definitely interested in other people's perspectives on life.
OC Manure, and I am a two-time winning broadcast journalism awards winner.
Yes, he is. Two times. Take your boy with you.
Two times.
As NFL guys, what's your Premier League perspective like? What do you think of it?
I find it interesting. I used to like it more than I do now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I'm more of a players guy.
Yeah.
And so when Ibrahimovic was here, I was a massive fan of Manchester United. When Ronaldo was playing, I was a massive fan of Manchester United. I feel like some of the character is gone a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, some of the... I don't even know how to explain it, man, but the guys with big personalities that used to play in the Premier League, you just don't see too much of that anymore. But overall, it's okay. It's okay. Man City is just so good. Liverpool is so good. There are a couple of teams that are really good, and everybody else is just kind of middling.
something that you guys have been used to in your sport for a long time is video refereeing, right? Mm. So you always have every play, every kind of decision is ratified, and there's appeals and appeal process as well. We're just getting used to that in football. It's been the first season, the Premier League this season. There's a lot of talk of people not liking it, perhaps mm-hmm. wanting to roll it back, maybe talking about even abolishing it altogether.
Yeah.
But I had a bit of a perspective because I spent a bit of time over in the US, and when people were saying to me earlier in the year, oh, the thing is, with video replays, it's going to stop all this conversation. There's going to be no conversation around it because the decisions will be correct.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true, is it?
Right.
Because in the US, on TV networks, they spend all week talking about decisions. I remember there was that Cam Newton decision in the Super Bowl when he was at the Panthers a few years ago. Yeah. And they couldn't decide whether it was a completed pass or not.
Yeah.
So what kind of words of advice do you have to Premier League fans? Does it get better?
No, it doesn't get better. It adds confusion, especially when you leave it up to the interpretation of the referee. That's where you run into some problems. But what it does do is that there's certain things that are clear cut. This is a clear cut foul or this is a clear cut fumble. And before, you weren't able to see that, but now you're able to go back and look. So the clear cut ones, I think they help. But the other ones, which are kind of like up for interpretation, yeah. it just makes things even worse in some respects. I think it's a good thing, though. There's just so much money on the line to allow something so stupid to ruin the outcome of it. Mm. So I think you got to err on the side of caution and allow these things to be reviewed.
Do you agree, guys?
Yeah, I think that when it comes to games in general and all sports, there's a flow. And you start disrupting the flow too much, fans get upset. So it's this careful balance of the flow of the game is what we want, but it's being refereed the way we do. Hmm. And I think technology, why would you say no to technology? But like OC said, man, you know, it's like you need to be a lawyer to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
It's like if you don't know the rules and how it's officiated exactly, then you're looking at something on a screen and you're thinking, well, this is what I see. Well, how does that determine how the rules are set? You know, how is that, you know, how is that broken down? And it's very confusing. And I know the rules. So, you know, I like the fact that you're allowed to just play. In the NFL. I don't want everything reviewed. I want people to just be able to go out there and do what they do. But if there's anything egregious, it needs to be corrected.
Do you think fans, broadcasters, and players even in your sport know the rules well enough?
I think as a player, we were very aware. I think each year we had the coach come in, would talk to us about rule changes.
Outside looking in, there's a lot of rules in the NFL.
Yes. I was in, when me and OC played, I remember they came in and they, early in both our careers, they changed the pass interference rule and they really officiated it differently. I mean, it really got tough and we just focused on it all off season, and they called a lot of penalties. I got a lot of penalties on myself, actually. But it was one of those things where they just wanted to referee it out of the game, and then the next year it wasn't called as much. Hmm. So when they want to clean something up, they do it. And then one thing you got to remember, these are professional athletes. Hmm. Hockey had to change a rule where they couldn't check guys in a certain way, and they complained, oh, it's going to change the game. Guys adjusted. We are pros. Hmm. We can figure out a way around it. It just takes time. And, you know, so I really don't have sympathy as a player because it just weeds you out if you can't do it.
Hmm. I don't think there's certain rules that I just learned. Like my 12th year in the NFL, I learned to rule. It was the craziest one. You know when they this is special teams. You know when they kick the
ball. You never played special teams.
Yeah, I know, but I should have known this rule. When they kick the ball and then like the guy
puts his foot out of bounds.
What is this? Mm. And so there's certain things that you're still learning about the NFL because our positions are so different. You know, a defensive end, a corner, a linebacker, an offensive lineman, a wide receiver, a quarterback, our positions are so, we're never really even in the same meeting room for the most part.
True.
We're all separated. So there are a lot of things that he might know that I wouldn't.
Teams within teams,
basically. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely, man. And then we always split up offense, defense, and then from there you split into your position. So there's so many different things that are going on that you might not know. So there are a lot of rules.
But you know what's fascinating about that? The great players, and me and Osi talk about this all the time, and he was a much better player than me, but we know what The great players know what the other positions are doing and how that helps them.
Yeah,
true. To be good, you have to know it all. Hmm. The elite players in every sport know how all the positions function. Hmm. Because you got to know where you have help, where you're exposed, all of that. And you can see that with great players. They have a great understanding of the game.
So the Netherlands international football team, they're quite famous for their kids would all play in a different position until they settled on their own position. So then when they got the ball and they had to give it to a teammate, the idea was that they'd know what the teammate's job was, so they would be able to play much more sort of together.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah,
but you guys can't go around playing like 40 different positions every week.
You just got to be a student of the game.
Yeah,
you got to understand why OC's doing something and how that affects me. Hmm. If I know OC has got a certain path to the quarterback, or he's doing something, or what his responsibility is, I can know, man, I can't count on him like I usually could before to get pressure on the quarterback. And that's the good, great players had that.
There are some decent comparisons, I think, around, because NFL is a massively popular sport in the US. Obviously, football here is the biggest sport by some distance. So when you were coming up as a young kind of player, you must have experienced the temptations, the difficulties that kids here will be experiencing as they go through to learn, because they want to become Premier League football players. Why do you think you guys were different? You just disciplined. You just weren't didn't have huge amounts of different interests, or what's the reason, do you think? And what would you say to young kids now?
I think it's different in regards to the NFL and the Premier League. In American football, for instance, like me and Jason, we graduated from college.
Yeah,
you understand. So you go to school.
You're a bit older.
Yeah, it's like. Go to high school. In order to make it to the next level, you have to go to college. But then in college, you have to pass school, and then
do you actually though? Is there some places where they'll just push you through?
Not when we were coming up.
Yeah, I think that's sensationalized a little bit more than it is. I mean, anybody can find a way to skate through, but
you have to graduate basically.
You have to be on your path, high school.
For sure. Okay. And so I think what you see with NFL players is like we have a lot more structure because we're in these environments coming all the way up to college, whereas in the Premier League, these guys, they start at like 7, they're in the academies, and then it's just...
Because they're just going football. To school together.
Yeah, just football, and then...
So they can make their debut for the first team at 17. Yeah.
17
sometimes
years old.
Sometimes 16.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest difference. I think it's got to be so much more difficult for a Premier League player because of the environment that, they're in.
Right.
And they can start at a much earlier age. I don't know how you're a kid, you're 16, 17, they're giving you 30, 40, 50,000 a week. Like, how do you say
I want to pursue my
education? You can't. Like, for us, we can't make that money till we're like 22.
Mm-hmm. But in college, you can't get paid at all.
Nah.
Well, they just passed the rule.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get off your likeness.
Tell us about that. So is that for image rights and stuff like that?
Yeah. Yeah, your likeness.
Okay.
So it literally just got passed yesterday, so.
So you'll be put on the front of John Madden or whatever. And you never get paid for that in class. But
your jerseys now, all that, anything.
Okay. And what do you think about that?
I think it's long overdue. Hmm. There's a lot of kids that have been in a situation where that was the pinnacle of their career, and they had made a lot of money for their universities.
And not made it themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. One thing that's interesting, I think, as well to Premier League fans is the draft system you guys adopt. Whereas here... I'm sure you know, but if you don't know, if you've got, there are certain things to stop it now, like financial fair play, and there's penalties for it. But ultimately, the wealthiest clubs can buy the best players, and that
like baseball.
That can sell perpetuate. But in NFL, you've got the system where the worst team the year before gets the first pick the next year.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean. That's like an odd thing to a British a sports fan.
I don't know why. I don't know why that's odd, to be honest with you. I think the way British football is, I think that's odd to me. That doesn't make any sense.
And as a fan, I'd be frustrated.
Yeah, because...
I think a lot of them are, Jason. About lots of things.
It literally makes zero sense to me. I understand it.
Yeah.
I understand it, but... you just can't allow a Man City or Liverpool or Man United, you just can't allow them to win every single year because they have the most money.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair to the other teams. Like, you know, the smaller clubs, they have to work so hard to be able to, you know, do. And then as soon as they make anything, they have to sell their players to get money. It's crazy. So in the NFL, there's literally the worst team, Cincinnati, Miami. They could literally win the Super Bowl next year. It's not a stretch of the imagination to think that the worst team in football this year can go on next year and win it, because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Because everything is so evenly distributed. Everybody has the same amount of money to spend. The worst team gets the first pick, so you can always build. You can always build. You can always get better. Whereas in soccer, man, if you're the bottom of the table, man, if you're, I don't even know who it is, the chance of you winning the Premier League, unless you're Leicester, the chance of you doing that are slim to none.
I have a question that sparks something. So we always talk about how important coaching is in the NFL and how it can change. You get a coach that can change the culture, change everything. And it's because of that parity OC was describing in the NFL. Mm. If you have an elite coach come in the premiership in soccer and football, it would come with the culture, and they're handicapped financially. Mm. Are they able to turn it around?
Handicapped financially and handicapped with the players?
Mm. Yeah.
You're not going to go into a Man City or a Liverpool and beat them.
I think something is difficult for perhaps American fans to understand is that ultimately the conversation about winning the Premier League is done for 95% of all the clubs in the country. I mean, the fact that Leicester won it, that's like a Halley's Comet event. Yeah. Like, that's something that just happens as an aberration once every 100 years or whatever.
Right.
If you're someone who supports, I don't know, even a decent Premier League team, say, like, I don't know, I was trying to think of one. West Ham is a good example. They're never going to win the Premier League. I mean, you'd be crazy to go and bet on them to win the Premier League every season. You're never going to win your money because they're never going to win it. So our conversations around what teams are good and what teams aren't good are almost had within this bubble where we all understand that team is never going to win the Premier League.
That doesn't get boring? That's
crazy.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
You know what's amazing?
We have other competitions as well, though, right? So we have relegation, promotion, cups. So there's a little bit else to talk about.
And the reason I say that is one thing I respect about this country is they understand their sport.
Yeah.
Not sports, right? Sport. Mm. Did I say it right? Sport.
Yeah.
OC has a check.
It's a collective now.
You know, I got OC, man. Things are getting better.
Yeah.
And so it's just like the knowledge, the understanding. Like, I dig that. I respect that. And because of that, I would think that would be just so frustrating.
A lot of people are unhappy
about the lack of parity.
There's a lot of protests, a lot of sort of dissension about it. But West Ham, to go back to them, they'll be targeting winning the FA Cup or something and not getting relegated, or perhaps pushing up into the top four to get into European football, to get into the Champions League.
I do like the relegation.
Yeah. So you don't have relegation either.
I like that.
And the other thing you don't have in NFL, which I find fascinating, is that it really is the NFL or bust, right?
Yes.
Or bust.
Yes.
You talk about an academy player in the Premier League.
Yeah.
If they don't make it at Man City, there's 90-odd other clubs they can go and join and have a career.
Yeah.
Yes. NFL, what is it? CFL and nothing?
Yes. I
mean, you.
But
yes.
Going back to, can you imagine, for instance, that every team in Premier League had a chance to win every year? Can you imagine what that would be like?
Oh my god,
that'd be
gosh.
Awesome! Yeah, it'd be great.
Can you imagine what that?
Think about the
fan,
sponsorship.
Think about what that would be like. Every single team, every year, you can pay your money and be like,
"We got a shot.
We got a shot." Mm. I mean, how do you go about being a fan without you know, you're like, oh, we're gonna.
It's a lot of it's to do with they want to win against their local rivals. They want to not be relegated. They want to win a cup, maybe.
Yeah.
I suppose in the NFL there's only one trophy, right?
That's it.
Would there be, if your team won their division or their conference,
that's like, celebrated within the organization?
Yeah,
you celebrate that, but
you're not going down the bar telling your friends about that.
No, you still lost. Like you lost. If you don't win the Super Bowl, you make it to the playoffs. You might as well not have made it to the playoffs at all. Like you lost.
It just helps you as a coach keep your job, maybe.
Yeah, right. And also, the top coaches here wouldn't go to a lower club, so they wouldn't. So, you know. I know, say for example, like Belichick is synonymous with the Patriots, and he's done amazing, given what you guys have talked about with the draft and everything, to maintain that, he's amazing, and everyone knows that, right?
Yeah.
Would Belichick go to Miami?
here's what you have to understand. New England used to be a terrible club.
Yeah.
Terrible.
You understand? Okay, So he got there. They got a good quarterback.
Drafted well.
Had money. Now they're winning Super Bowls. Yeah. So there's no Cincinnati, now you can say it's a bad club, but they get a coach, a high draft pick, all of a sudden there. So there's no bad club, there's no lower club, there's no high club, there's no none of that. Everybody's just in the NFL.
I noticed that because a few years ago, it was Cleveland, right?
Right.
And now they're okay now.
Now there's like
they give the fan base hope.
Yeah,
because they went 0-16 a few years ago.
And they went and acquired a bunch of good players, and they gave the fan base hope.
So I support Portsmouth, right? That's my football team, and they're in the third tier, League One. Mm. It's no way Pep Guardiola's coming to Portsmouth. There'd be a national week of holiday in Portsmouth. Pep Guardiola even visited the city, let alone took over the club. So it's pretty different. But so for people who are listening to this who are football fans and don't really know NFL, there's no potential for a club or a team to come in and say, we love that guy from college. We love Trevor Lawrence, the guy at Clemson, mm-hmm. whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Clemson, isn't he?
Yes.
We want him. Mm-hmm. They can't go and get him.
No, they have to be.
It has to be in the draft.
In the draft.
So they have to trade draft places over a series of years. And
yes, exactly.
Money does not talk in this situation.
It's all about negotiation power. And that's why you see teams that have great front offices mm-hmm. and great negotiators able to make those kind of moves. You said something earlier that me and OC have talked about, and you look at Belichick, and he's, you know how in soccer, you know how they sell players, develop them, sell them, all that. Mm-hmm. So you usually don't see that in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But Belichick has realized in New England he's not going to get the top picks, right, because he's winning every year. Mm-hmm. So he's developed all these backup quarterbacks behind Tom Brady. Ship them off.
Hmm. Garoppolo.
All assets.
Yeah.
And who's the other one there? All three of them start.
Yeah.
Garoppolo.
Yeah.
You got Jacoby Brissett.
Mm-hmm. Brissett, that's it. Yeah.
Those are the two right now. And he was before it was Matt Castle.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, so he's got top.
So what he's doing is developing the quarterback. He's then moving them on and in exchange for better draft positions.
I wouldn't say he's doing it with the sole purpose of shipping them off.
No. It just happens.
It just happens that way. You know, he's developing them. Yeah. And then, okay, well, somebody comes to him. We're like, okay, we'll give you a second round pick for this guy. He's like, okay.
Yep.
Do you guys ever see anything in Premier League and think, I'd like NFL to do more of that?
I like the nutrition stuff.
The nutrition stuff is good.
Let's talk a bit about that then. What do you mean by that?
Me and OC went and visited a couple of different teams, and they would talk about the things they were doing, and they just seemed so technologically advanced in some of the things they were doing. I mean, they test them every day with a swab, check their nutrition and stuff like that. I just thought that was pretty elite. I just... You know, how they track the miles and everything they're doing. I mean, teams are doing that now, but I just felt like they were really on the cutting edge with that stuff.
Yeah, it's a different level. I think we went to Tottenham's practice facility.
Yeah.
Incredible. They were growing their own food. And
right.
Yeah.
I was like, what is going on here?
You know where to go when the apocalypse comes.
Yeah. They had everything set up so nice for them. It was a very high level. I used to think the NFL was, on the cutting edge of that type of stuff until I went to Tottenham and I saw, their facilities and saw what they were doing and saw how they treated their players. It was incredible.
So their training facility at Bulls Cross up in Enfield is pretty new, cutting edge. And obviously you guys would have visited their new stadium as well because they have NFL games there. That's amazing in there, isn't it?
Yeah.
As well?
Oh, yeah.
Because I was at the London launch that I think you hosted with Josh.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And they had the whole NFL dressing room kitted out and everything. Yeah,
yeah, it's
an amazing stadium, isn't it?
Wow. That's all I can say is it's one of the top stadiums in the world.
Hmm.
Definitely.
What do you think we can learn from NFL then? What do you think Premier League can learn from NFL? Because when you're a Premier League fan, you watch football every day like I do for my job, and I come over to the US, I visit, and it's all NFL. And it takes me about two or three games to get into the NFL mindset of watching the stop, start, slow thing, book out 4 hours to watch it, right? Because Premier League is so relentless, so fast.
Yeah.
And I think, not that they would necessarily prioritise British fans, but although they are kind of starting to do that, one thing I think would be amazing for British fans is the game is quicker.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I think that they're just, the games are so different that
it's not possible.
Yeah, it's not really possible. The only thing that I can say is the parity, because like soccer, football, that's my first love. That's what I grew up with. That's I only heard about American football till when I was like 15. That was the first time I heard of it. So for the first 15 years of my life, it was all.
And you still
all
became
football.
A pro. That's crazy, isn't it?
Talent.
How old were you when you first started playing?
About 14, organized.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So for me, you know, knowing both sports, you know, as well as I do, the only thing that I can say that I wish would change about the Premier League is the parity. I mean, can't continue to, you know, it just doesn't make any sense for...
With financial parity, basically.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to find a way to make it, whereas the teams who feel like they don't have a chance actually do have a chance to win every year the way that you see in the NFL.
One of the things, another thing that I think is quite a fascinating comparison is that we hear a lot in Premier League about players not being overloaded with information. So sometimes a rumour will come out of a team's not doing very well, that the coach has just given them too much information, they've been overloaded. But the information NFL players get given is
it's tremendous.
Unreal, isn't it? It's unreal. Yeah. Particularly a quarterback who's got all that stuff on his arm, and you see the play cards. It's called, what's it called at the side of the thing that they got the offensive coach?
Yeah, it's a play card.
Yeah. I mean, do you have memories of having to learn sort of off by heart all these different things?
We had to learn a tremendous amount of stuff, man. It was playbook would be about this thick. Yeah. Now, for each individual game, we wouldn't have to memorize everything in the playbook, but you'd have to memorize a good section of it. And then sometimes our coach would come, and on the sideline, he's like,
so true.
Oh, this isn't working. We're going to, he just start drawing up stuff. And then he'd go out there and he'd call that play. And you had to know exactly what it was that, you know, he was telling you to do. So it's a lot of information retention that you have to have. If you're going to play, especially on the defense, well, both sides of the ball, it's a lot of information. But we're just so accustomed to doing it that I don't think we ever thought, oh, this was too much information.
Can it get too confusing?
It gets very confusing sometimes.
You have to have the right teachers, right? It can get, listen, the smart players last. If you're not smart in the NFL, you're just not there.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, I've got just one more quick subject about injuries. Even in England now, we're talking about head injuries and whether kids should be heading the ball and all the rest of it. Do you guys have a concern about how that pertains to NFL?
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's a big part of the conversation, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a big deal, the concussions and the head injuries, because I think, you know, now we've seen the repercussions of that. I think earlier, maybe many years ago, a lot of people... You get a concussion, you're like, oh, okay, you'd be okay. But now you see the long-term effect of that. You know, we've had people who have, you know, have died from, you know, CTE and things of that nature. So you have to understand that now the information is there. We all know what we're doing now.
Yeah.
If you choose to play, that's That's on you. Yeah, that's on you. I like to say they're not just going to give you money for nothing. That's not the way this world works.
No.
You understand? So yeah. They give you all that money, they're going to take something from you. Yeah. And with us, it's our health. And we're sacrificing our health for financial gain. And it's okay. That's what we signed up for. I think the NFL now is doing quite a few things to try and protect.
Yeah.
Protect the head injuries and you know, protect players, but they're never ever going to remove the violence from the game. It's it's a very violent game, and
it's the game, right?
That's what people want to see.
We've seen at football at top level, it's changed a huge amount in terms of the rules and the laws because the impacts are so much greater.
Yeah.
If you come in at someone, you know, at speed into their shin bone, we see bad leg breaks, like career-ending leg breaks, and they've had to try and sort of legislate against that. And I suppose it's the same principle in NFL, isn't it? Helmet contact, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Ultimately, people are still going to get injured in a variety of different ways, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's just part of it, right?
But you said the thing. I mean, you have to look at the game, and you have to look at how the athletes are getting bigger, faster, and stronger, and you have to protect players. And I think definitely on the professional level, I mean, we all want to be out there. We don't want to hurt anybody. So we just have to adjust our game and understand that if we want to keep each other healthy, we're going to have to play by these rules.
And you're going after the quarterback to stop him, not to hurt him.
Yeah, not that. Like, I don't want to. What do I want to hurt him for? I don't. That mentality, I've never understood that
mentality. So he's out the rest of the game, I guess.
Not for what? Like, I need to do my job. And my job isn't predicated on him getting hurt. I need to get to that quarterback, period. Like, no matter who's in there. So I understand that he's trying to feed his family just like I'm trying to feed my family. Yeah. It's a business. So no matter who's at the quarterback position, my job is to get to him. That's my specific job. So I don't want to hurt him. I just want to do my job, period.
How many did you ever have any serious injuries as players? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot. I got an
how'd you deal with that?
One of them I had to retire.
Yeah, okay.
So you know, I broke both arms. I got metal rods in both my arms.
Right.
So one, I came back after four games and just played with a titanium, a carbon fiber cast. And I got
the one Gronk had on his.
Basically, he kind of did the same thing. So yeah, we all had something. I mean, Osi's. I'm surprised he got knees left.
Right. Are you surprised as well, Osi?
Yeah, I mean, it's rough. It's rough. It's a rough time, man. But.
But when you're so defined by your physical prowess, and then you have to stop through injury, or you're out of the game for a period of time through injury,
yeah,
does that affect you very badly psychologically?
How much time you got, man? That's a very, very in-depth question.
But it must affect you psychologically because that's how you've been judged on, right?
Yeah,
that's why your value has been ascribed.
Basically, there's a study at University of Florida. They studied this in the States, and it's basically equivalent to a death.
In the family kind of thing, a bereavement.
You die.
Right.
That part of you is dead, and now there's a rebirth. And you go through this process, a grieving process, and we all do it differently. But we have to go through it. And those around us need to understand that and help us. And we, you know, most come out okay on the other end, but it is a grieving process because you've done something your whole life. I mean, imagine you're a lawyer and somebody says you got to stop practicing law. You're like, why? I've done everything to this point to be a lawyer or doctor or whatever. You've done everything to that point to be great at something, and you have to stop.
Actually, would you go the same way?
Yeah, 100%. It's strange. I think for me, you know, I was in the unique position, or the position that maybe like 1% of us find ourselves in, whereas you play as long as you want to play, and then you just kind of like, I'm done with it, you know. And
right.
Yeah, most people, you know, you don't find yourself in that position. Most of the time, the game is taken away from you, whether it's through injury or whether they're telling you can't play anymore. It's really, really messed up. So a lot of the things that, you know, maybe Jason might have went through, or a lot of 99% of the athletes, I didn't go through that because I voluntarily was like, I don't want to play anymore. And I had a really long career, and there was nothing else I could have done within my career as far as, like, you know, maybe winning the Super Bowl or, you know, going to the Pro Bowl. Like, I did all of that. So there was nothing else for me to do. So when I left, I was okay with it.
But you still had to tackle the idea of what you were going to do next as still a young man.
Yeah, I really didn't want to do anything. That was my whole goal was to not do anything.
Okay.
when I was done. Yeah.
But guidance is important though, because we hear in this country that our top athletes, footballers, they bankrupt themselves at 10 times the rate that normal people do when they retire, because they don't have, or historically they haven't had the education or the preparation for life after.
I think
you
have to be careful with those statistics, because they say the same thing in the United States, and in reality, for the age group, the bankruptcies are kind of similar.
Right. Okay.
If you stop working for 6 months, how many people are going to be bankrupt?
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And they tend to misplace these athletes into thinking all of them made a tremendous amount of money. You know, all of them made the top dollar. That's not true. You had the locker room. You had the OCs of the world, and you had me. Middle of the road guys that were set up okay, but I had to think differently about my financial future. So I think that there is a level of education and understanding that needs to be focused on, because listen, if you are making this money, you have to start to think about how is this going to last 50 years. There's not a lot of people in society that have to think like that. There's none of your peers walking around like that. Most people are working on their career, doing their thing, but they think, I'm just going to continue to work. That's not the same world that athletes get thrown into. And it's very lonely. And I think that a lot of people want to see athletes fail. I really think that, yes.
For what reason? Jealousy? Or?
Well, I think in going to what he said, okay, say for instance, they say, oh, a lot of these athletes go broke and all this. Okay, say for instance, a guy who's making in the NFL, maybe 60-70% of the players are making like minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's say it's like 400 and something thousand bucks, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, 400 after taxes is like 200 and something bucks. I mean, 200 and some thousand bucks. Mm-hmm. And then you pay your agent, then that's down to like 150,000, right? Mm-hmm. So say the average career is 3 years in the NFL. So you've made 150, you know, maybe 200, and then maybe 250. This is what you've made as a career. So how long is that
supposed to last?
How long is that supposed to last you?
Yeah.
You know, and you got to think, they've worked their entire lives to be professional athletes. So as soon as that's done, now they have to go into finding something else to do. So obviously, yes, they're going to be broke within, you know, a year or two.
It's like a false statistic, basically.
It's definitely a false statistic, I would say.
Yeah, and another thing that happens is, and me and OC talk about this all the time, is, I mean, all, I hate to say it, but the sharks know where the money is. And all the bad people, they're always, that are looking for, to take your money, know that most athletes have cash. Ready, available, not in some asset tied up. They got cash, so they attack them. And what happens when you retire, you start thinking, I got this money, now I need to make money to keep living. And you take risk. So a lot of the times they're not spending it. It's people taking advantage of them, saying, I'm going to help you make money. But they're just taking their money. You see that more than anything. And then these guys are so ashamed of it that they don't even talk about it. And those people know that.
Did you always know that you were going to go and work in the media after you finished? Or was that part of your process of finishing your career?
I went into finance.
Right.
Okay. No media. I didn't. I'm lucky OC's here.
Yeah, I had zero plans of going into media. I just wanted to go chill, man. But my wife was like, nah, you got to do something.
Yeah, get out of the house. So what advice, just before you guys leave, what advice would you give to top athletes, whether they play in the Premier League or in the NFL? What advice would you give them when they finished? Just to take a bit of time to get to know what they want to do and look after themselves and all that kind of stuff, the sensible stuff.
Invest in their relationships. You know, be a good person, because when it's all said and done, the people are going to pick up your phone call and want to help you if you were good to them when you were on top. Be a good person. It goes a long way.
You have to understand that it must come to an end.
Yeah.
Like, no matter, you know, just almost like life. Like, it has to happen. So you have to start to prepare yourself mentally for the fact that you're going to retire. This is going to end. So what exactly is it that you want to do? I knew I didn't want to do media in America. Like, I saw everybody would retire and, you know, they're fighting amongst themselves to go do this job. And I knew I didn't want to do that. So just being able to come to London, nobody knew who I was, escape from everything. It was like a rebirth for me out here. And just find a way to find something to do that you really, really love to do.
I wonder if you both felt like you had to prove yourself again.
Interesting. I don't think I'm gonna answer for OC. OC wasn't like that.
No.
Not at all. You know, I don't think. No. I think we just are equipped with the skills to conquer new things, because if there's anything I want athletes to know, is like, we have the talent to do whatever we want. most people are not put in a stressful situation 2 times a year.
Yeah, let alone every
day or week. Yeah. So imagine what an asset you are to a company, to an industry. And I think me and OC, because we can have those conversations with each other, we understand that we have the solutions embedded in our brain. We just need to dig them out because we've been in a situation that we've had to respond to. We just need to figure out how that relates to where we are. And we do that all the time.
Would you agree with that, OC?
100%.
Yeah. 100%.
Thank goodness you did. If you didn't, I was going to take that whole statement back.
Yeah, you guys have been so generous with your time. Thank you so much for spending time with me. I appreciate it. I think our listeners are going to love it. So thank you. All right, keep your eyes off my watch.
Appreciate it. No. We almost got you.
This was a Stakhanov production.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.